If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. Hawkins.
Oh, no. No, don't go seductive on me, Paul.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Paul, I have reached now the age. I went to Six Flags Magic Mountain for my birthday.
Oh, cool.
And I realize I'm now too old to ride roller coasters. And I'm very sad about this.
Are you 55?
I'm 53.
Oh, okay. And that's the age? So 52, you're okay, but 53, you're not.
I haven't rode roller coasters in a long time. Water slides I'm still good with, but roller coasters were a bit rough on me today.
Oh, okay. So it's not like you're prohibited. It's just you did it and you said, nope, too old for this shit.
I just went, wow, I don't remember these things being this rough.
Gotcha. Yeah, I haven't liked roller coasters in a long time. If I ever go to Disney World, I'll probably go on one with my kids or something. But
Disney should be fine.
I won't like it. Yeah.
This is a thrill ride park, though. I mean, Magic Mountain's probably, after Cedar Point, I'd say it might be number two in terms of coaster parks.
Okay. Okay. So, by the way, hey, everybody. It's Paul Fonte and Jeff Hawkins. It's his birthday, so that's why we had a different opening today. And I want to thank you all for joining us on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel, on the free audio feed on Thursday mornings. I see there are a lot of people in the chat. Sorry we're late. It's my fault. I got a little bit behind and thought I was going to have time to catch up, but they didn't do any commercials in the main event, so I didn't have time. Well, I guess they did one, but yeah, I thought I'd have more time and I didn't. So my apologies, everybody. And then I had some technical difficulties getting started. So I don't think we would have been on time anyways, but we were later than we needed to be. So my apologies.
Here's the breakdown of the show. Perfectly decent wrestling where everybody you knew was going to win won.
Pretty much. I mean, I wasn't sure what was going to happen in the opener. But I mean, we'll get to that, but I had a lot of questions and I don't know if because I didn't watch Collision. I think that's part of it. And then I was told, oh, well, that's your fault. You know, they're trying to incentivize people to watch Collision. Well, how do you know that if you tell a story that you're only half telling because the other half is told on a different show?
So hold on. Let me get something straight. The person who told you this.
Yeah.
Said that they're incentivizing people to watch their mainline show by making people who don't watch the supplemental show confused. That's what they told you?
No, they're trying to incentivize people to watch the secondary show and not skip it by telling you that something important happened. But the problem is they didn't tell me that something important happened. They just expect me to know that something important happened, and that's why their story doesn't make sense.
Okay, what happened on Saturday then?
Apparently, there was a backstage segment with Moxley and Ospreay, and Marina fixed Ospreay's neck, and that's why he feels indebted to them. And But they didn't tell us. They showed us highlights of Rush beating Adam Priest from Collision, but they didn't show us that.
Okay, that makes my explanation of this Death Rider segment even more prominent because it fits right in.
Well, Samoa Joe had the better explanation, and that's what I think it is. But of course, we don't know because they're making this shit up as they go along. And somebody told me, oh, well, Moxley or Ospreay realized that these guys are all a bunch of winners and he needs help from them in order to become a winner himself.
No.
Yeah, that's a fine theory, except for the fact that like 3 weeks ago, his team beat the Death Riders in a street fight. He beat Hawk with a bad neck. The other Garcia and Wheeler are losers. Marina's been losing all her matches. Claudio is okay.
I will wait until we get to this segment to give you my theory.
Okay, but I was so confused. And then like some of the other stuff, like I don't know. But yeah, it's. I like this. Osprey Boar Horseman. I've never heard them called the Boar Horseman
before. Oh, you haven't? I know that's been used on this show before.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Even Fernando says the Osprey and Moxley angle is stupid.
Okay, no. Now I have to go into it. Now okay. I have to go into what
okay, let's break format and let's deal with this right now.
Okay, look, this is an old school movie trope of sorts.
Okay.
And Marina helping Osprey with the neck thing. Also, yeah, it's a little indebtedness, but look, Moxley is the sort of crazy head of a criminal gang.
Yeah.
And he's brought in the undercover cop to be in the gang, but he knows it's the undercover cop and he thinks it's kind of cool to have a cop in his gang and be, it's a little crazy. Meanwhile, Pac is kind of the lieutenant who sees where it's all going to go downhill from here by doing this type of thing. It's a little Point Break-ish.
And Garcia and Wheeler just, a couple of useless flunkies.
They're red shirts. They're the guys who are going to get killed in the bank robbery before the big climactic scene.
Okay.
With Moxley and Osprey. Yeah, Den of Thieves 2, where
I just watched Dark Knight again. I mean, Could it be like Will Osprey is like Harvey Dent?
No.
Okay.
No. He's not going to go bad, I don't think. No, the whole thing is he's going to eventually destroy them from the inside, I think. And that's the goal here. Or what are he, you know, it's Keanu Reeves having to go along with the dead presidents on that last bank robbery.
Okay, that's a fine theory, and that might even be a better story. But I think what's going to happen is Moxie's just going to help him. And he's going to win the title and Moxie's
and be owed a favor by Will Ospreay and then have a title match. Oh God.
Cause here's the story as I remember and understand it. About 9 months ago, Will Ospreay and Swerve teamed up to defeat the Young Bucks and kick them out of being EVPs. Cause they were running roughshod over AEW. Very soon after that, the Young Bucks just became faces without a turn. Then Osprey gets attacked by the Death Riders and put out of action for 9 months with a bad neck. He makes his triumphant return at Revolution and immediately gets attacked by the Death Riders again. Then he wrestles Pac, and Pac attacks him before the match, gives him a brainbuster onto his bad neck on the stage. Then Osprey needs to go find help from his friends. So he goes to Japan, gets his friends. They come back. They beat the Death Riders in a street fight. And then they have a match at the pay-per-view where Moxley wins. And then last week, Osprey wrestles again, can barely beat Hechicero because of his bad neck. Then he wrestles again the following week. He keeps getting cleared, by the way, even though he's got a bad neck being held together by strings. He loses to Mark Davis because the ref stops the match because he can't continue. And apparently he's still not cleared. And then the Death Riders show up, kidnap him, and then the next time we see them, the Death Riders just hanging out. Osprey shows up in a lovely turtleneck. He's fine. He seems to be there under his own free will. He's showing up for day one of Death Rider Jiu-Jitsu, I guess.
Yes.
And Moxie's giving him advice and he's being all joyful and goofy and poking Pac in the stomach.
Pac standing there going, I don't like this, boss. Oh, come on. It's going to be fun. You know what? I mean, the other bad story would be he cuts off Osprey's penis and calls him Reek. And then do a whole Game of Thrones thing where Osprey becomes this weird character who needs redemption. It's the group of bank robbers where the leader, the alpha, is really crazy, but the other guy's really kind of stoic and a planner, and he sees what's going to go on here. And
How does Kenny Omega fit into all this, by the way?
Diverticulitis.
Oh, okay. And what about Hangman?
With his kid, probably still. Okay. I mean, they're in Virginia, and Hangman Adam Page wasn't on the show.
No, he wasn't. They didn't need him. They sold 5,500 tickets without him. So, maybe they can. I bet you They're in Virginia again in about 5 weeks, so I'll bet you he's there by then.
It may depend on the place in Virginia, because this is a bougie Northern Virginia. They were
I think they're in Norfolk next time.
Norfolk, yes, yeah. My home state.
So and Double or Nothing is between then and now. So okay. I think we're going to see Hangman return at Double or Nothing. I think whatever this stip is that you know, obviously there's going to be a stip with MJF and Darby, whatever that is. Maybe Darby's going to make him, you know, say he can never challenge for the title again, just like MJF did to Hangman. Although we'll get to that too, because Lady B's got some clarification. Also, this Marina fixed his neck thing. When you watch the video, she literally just did what a normal chiropractor could do and use a towel. If Marina fixed him and not AEW docs, they suck. Well, they suck. there is that.
Yeah, this was the training day scene where Jake's in the bathtub with the guys that Alonzo left him with. And then it's like, oh, isn't this your little sister? Isn't this your little cousin's wallet or something? Oh, yeah. Marina fixed my neck. So we're all cool now, you know, that kind of thing. And now I owe you one or whatever. It's just stupid.
Fernando suggests career on the line. Yeah, I thought of that, too. And then maybe Hangman returns, costs MJF the match, and now MJF doesn't have a career. And Hangman can never challenge for the title. And then eventually they both get brought back. And
in New York?
Yeah.
No.
What do you mean no?
You're not gonna have MJF lose, put his career on the line in New York and lose, are you?
Yeah. Here's the thing, and this is what I agree with. The heat is on. The story is so simple. The top babyface coming back from a career-threatening injury wants to win the belt in his home country versus the shit heel MJF. Boom.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes, you are correct. But here's what sometimes happens in writers' rooms. Well, let's just tell the straight ahead story of the countryman coming back from a career threatening injury, wanting to win the belt in his home country. No, that's too simple.
Yeah.
No, we can't do that. We have to have some twists and turns here to keep the viewers interested. So we'll make one of them.
Our fans won't care about the holes because they'll make up their own stories.
Exactly.
Because I've heard everything like, oh, Moxley thinks that Ospreay is wrestling too recklessly, so this is going to help him in the long run.
I figured it out. It's not the real Ospreay. It's an alien shapeshifter pretending to be Ospreay. Oh. And then he's going to reveal himself.
Okay. Yeah. Now we're cooking with grease.
Swear, I've had a root beer with sugar, so I might be a little...
Well, I'm behind. I mean, and as far behind, like there's literally one show I missed and I feel like I missed a month.
But... He's a Skrull.
I'm far behind on WWE, and I know exactly what happened because it's not hard to figure it out. You watch one show, they fill you in on everything you missed in the last 6 months. Do we want to get into the show? I don't care if the show ends up being short. Doesn't matter.
Well, there's not a lot for us to talk about because we'll just go, that was a good match. That was a good match. What's the point of having Ace Austin in a thing when we don't care about him and nobody does any character development for him?
We'll get to that.
It's a company of Brad Armstrongs, and this is what they want.
It's a little more than that. It's a little more than that. So Shivani and Taz were there with Excalibur. So it was Taz this week. No Nigel. No Brian Danielson. I thought Taz was pretty good.
No.
I mean,
okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Maybe later he was. In the beginning, he was getting his punchline Jones machine working a little bit so that because there had been a bit of rust on there, so he's trying to
I must have missed that because I usually write that stuff down, and it was during in ring entrances and stuff, so
because I don't mind Taz usually. I'm usually, but there are times where it's just like, dude, but this wasn't one of those. He wasn't bad, but it wasn't like I was really enjoying kind of Nigel's basic heel competence in the role.
Yeah,
I really was.
It's weird because he was talking about like MJF and he was making up this like backstory about how they're like great friends and stuff. And I don't remember any of that, but
yeah, he went full heel. He went full heel from the get go.
Yeah. So they did a video package going over they said it was going over the history of MJF and Kevin Knight, but really it was just recapping the angle from last week, which is
the history of MJF and Kevin Knight.
No, they had a match like a month ago. Don't you remember?
Oh, did they? No.
Yeah, because he challenged him for the title before he defended against Kenny, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wrote down, the crowd was pretty hot at the beginning. They were brawling a lot on the outside. MJF looks like he's put on 15 pounds of muscle since the pay-per-view. Not complaining, just an observation. He was freaking ripped, and is like his delts are like huge. Just something I noticed. Knight did a phenomenal springboard forearm to the outside that would have made AJ Styles proud. Like way better than anything AJ ever did. Oh, I shouldn't say ever, but it was way better than an AJ one. I'll just say that. Then he rolls him back in the ring, tries to hit a UFO, but MJF rolled away. Then MJF went for the heat seeker, but Knight got away. He did a near fall off a sunset flip. They traded two counts. MJF hit a cutter for two. It was a really good one. Knight went for Rana, but he landed badly on his knee, and then he sold the knee for the rest of the match. Then they went to a break to come back. Max has him in a half crab working over the knee. Then he's doing cocky covers. Knight rolled out. Then he started doing serious one. MJF started getting frustrated. Knight selling the knee. Then the ref gets distracted by something, so Max puts on the ring. And in the meantime, Kevin Knight notices the ref is distracted, punches Max in the balls, and rolls him up for the win. And I wrote, you know what the funny thing is? I wrote in the Discord, hell of a babyface that Kevin Knight. Meaning it as sarcasm. And I got like 100% thumbs up. And like everybody thought I was serious. And it's just like 2 weeks, well, not 2 weeks in a row, but two matches in a row where Max is like legitimately screwed. like we're supposed to have sympathy for him, like in a way. But I guess, oh no, he's getting his one up. And then I'm struggling to remember all these matches that he won with a low blow. And I know he wins with the ring all the time. I don't remember him winning with low blows, but maybe I forgot. I don't know.
No.
Okay.
I got nothing to add there. I'm just like, no, you're not forgetting anything. We just decided we're gonna give our baby faces a little bit of an edge so they're not stupid baby faces, but then we're gonna overcompensate.
I don't mind like the non-stupid. Like he could have just rolled them up. You know, like
here's the thing though, a nut shot from a baby face can only come after lots and lots of cheating where he's just sick of it and he finds a moment to do it and then the crowd gets an emotional release. This
Max
wasn't that.
Tried to cheat once and was thwarted. That's yes. It. Like this wasn't justified.
You have to build to that spot. Exactly. Yeah.
Otherwise he's just wrestling a clean match the whole way. Like you know, like Max, like he's got a point. And even in that Darby match, you know, I watched it finally. I think Darby had his shoulders. I think Max had his shoulders up when Darby pinned him. Like Max said that last week. And I'm like, yeah, he's just a heel telling bullshit. But then I watched the match. I think he actually had his shoulders up.
Now the wrestlers are telling their own stories on promos. It's amazing.
Well, somebody explained it to me and they said, no, he didn't really. It just looked like he did. No, you know, whatever. I mean, he won. That's fine. But,
you know,
I mean,
you could have left it at somebody explained it to me and I could have rolled my eyes harder.
Yeah. And then you could probably guess who it was. Yes. If we're talking the Discord. So then after the match, MJF attacked him. Then Darby descended from the rafters like Sting. So he knew that this was going to happen because he was all set up, ready to go on the rafters. And then he gave Max a scorpion death drop. Crowd went nuts for Darby. MJF escapes up the ramp, grabs a mic, says, "You people suck. Darby, this is real typical. You two are two peas in a pod, two low-life cheaters. Stop him when he's telling lies. But the joke's on you. I don't give a damn about Kevin Knight. That match doesn't count. I was barely even trying." The crowd laughs at this. "The only thing I care about is my Triple B, my AEW world champion." Fans are booing. He says, "I said, shut up. Give me my rematch, Darby." And Darby's shaking his head. And he's like, no, I'm not giving you a rematch till you put something on the line. If I survive tonight against Brody King, I know exactly who deserves a title shot next week. The fans are chanting Jet. And then Max is like, me, don't even think about it, Darby. And then Darby says, "Kevin Knight." And then Brody King comes out because, of course, he's got a title shot tonight. Gets in MJF's face a little bit. I noticed he had a mic. Gets in the ring, stares down Darby, and he says, "I got some bad news for you, Darby. You're not going to survive tonight. And I got even worse news for you, Kevin Knight. Next week, you're not going to be facing Darby Allin. You're going to be facing the new AEW World Champion." Woof. The best part of this was Brody. I love that they closed with that. Like, because, you know, it showed.
So you,
like,
hold on. You loved that Brody, the babyface, came out and threatened Darby and then threatened Kevin Knight.
No, he was mad that he was being overlooked.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like that's all. He wasn't threatening them. He's just telling them, like,
I gotcha.
Don't overlook me. Buddy.
I'll say this: it came off heelish to me. It did.
I didn't think it came off heelish. I just thought it came off like a strong baby face that didn't want to be overlooked.
I'll take that. I'd like to take umbrage with MJF being in Fairfax and calling Virginia a hillbilly state when it's 20 minutes away from the richest county in America.
Well, they were in the nation's the backyard of the nation's capital.
Fairfax is Northern Virginia. Fairfax, Loudoun County, Arlington, Alexandria. Those are all rich, bougie places.
And Washington, D.C. is right there, too, right?
Yeah. I think Sister Catch may have gone to their show.
Okay. All right. I thought like the post match was kind of weird. The match itself was good. I didn't really like the finish.
How are we feeling about Darby being new Sting, just going all in on this now? Let me finish. I know that he's been that from time to time, but now we're going heavy into it as champion.
Yeah.
With the rappelling from I think it's going to be an every week thing that he comes down.
Well, he's only done it once, but yeah.
I think eventually there's going to be some angle where we don't see him for a year and a half and he's up in the rafters.
Are we going to get a fake Darby at some point?
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah.
I want to see the pain from AEW fans.
Could be Brody King Jr. could come in as the fake Darby.
Brody Lee Jr.
Yeah. Did I tell you I saw his match? I was there live. I was like third row, like standing room, and I got a great view of it. He was great.
Good.
Yeah, it was a really good match. We should point out too, we didn't talk about it before the show, and I kind of wanted to, and I just slipped my mind because we got off track. But the early returns on the Darby title reign aren't great. I mean, they sold a lot of tickets for tonight's show, so that's good. It's like 5,500, their biggest Dynamite crowd in the States in almost 2 years. So that's really good. But the TV ratings haven't been great.
And, well, who's he fighting that's worth anything in terms of...
Well, the first match was MJF, who's their biggest draw.
No, that's fine, but it's one of those things where it's like it's Brody King.
Yeah,
Kevin
last
Knight,
week was Ciampa.
Ciampa, which was a great match. That was a phenomenal match, but...
Yeah. What is this? Oh.
No, I if you want him to be something, you have to make him something, as opposed to just Darby with the belt. And I'd be all for seeing what they do, but it's obvious to me that Tony doesn't have that kind of view of Darby as the champion. He's a guy waiting there until one of his quote unquote main eventers gets hot again and we can belt that guy. Now, here's my question. Did you think MJF was going to win this match against Kevin Knight and be the TNT champion?
No, I thought Hangman was going to return and cost him the match. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah. And honestly, I think what they did might be better than that. So, I'm just telling you what I thought was going to happen. Like, I kind of like that they had Kevin Knight beat him, even though he cheated to do it. Like, I didn't think they'd have Kevin Knight beat MJF. So I was kind of impressed that they did that. Clearly, they have plans for Kevin Knight.
Okay. Now, is it a multi-person match in New York then? Because Kevin Knight beat MJF.
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
Because Kevin Knight beat MJF so he could get a world title match, and he's going to lose to Darby next week.
You're right. But let's say MJF screws him.
That could happen, but I don't think it will.
Okay.
I think next week he's going to beat Kevin Knight, and then we're going to find out what the stip is.
Fernando, we've been saying heel Kevin Knight is coming for 6 months now.
Yeah. It will. I think he's a better... I think that character works better as a heel.
I think you could do something with a heel Kevin Knight. Don't get me wrong. And I think if he had a mouthpiece, it would help him get confidence in that character.
He should be with Nana and Swerve, I think.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
See, the problem with Nana is he's a comedy guy. And I think he needs a more serious manager to play out. He could be like, even like Don Callis, who's not a comedy guy, would be a better spokesperson.
Well, the problem with
for Knight to play off of
8,000 members in his family.
That's very true.
I mean, there's other people, but
no, there's not.
He should be, or he could be a heel and doing his own promos.
He'd be bad with Stokely. He'd be bad with Nana. He'd be, I mean, that's the
he could get a side piece and be a heel that way.
All right.
You know, like maybe Layla Gray when she returns.
Camille.
There you go. There you go. I like that. Hurt Syndicate. Oh, there you go. I mean, he might.
No, that would be the fit, and that's what we thought was going to happen, right?
Yeah, actually.
No. We thought he was going to go with Swerve.
No. I remember when it was Hurt Syndicate against Jet Speed. I thought Kevin Knight was going to turn on Mike Bailey and join up with Hurt Syndicate. That's what I thought was going
to
happen.
If we're going to turn Kevin Knight heel, that's where I'd like to
go. Christian as his agent.
I really like Hurt Syndicate.
I do too, because MVP would talk for that guy. And then you can slowly kind of transition Lashley into the certain tag team.
Yeah, and there's a certain toughness between you have the very serious Shelton, you have the very serious Bobby Lashley, and you have the kind of cocksure Kevin Knight in there. I like that kind
That's like a four horsemen kind of thing.
Yes, very.
Yeah, very much so. Because you had Tully and Arn were serious, and JJ is the spokesman.
Well, Tully was kind of a snarky, sarcastic guy. Flair was a very flamboyant.
Okay, Wyndham and Anderson guy. Anderson.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Sure.
So we get a video package for the main event, Darby and Brody. It was set to death metal music, and it went over the history of their wild matches. That was pretty good.
Hey, we didn't do I Gotta Be Me, so I'm happy.
No. And one thing I really liked in this video was they showed the one, I remember this, I'll never forget this match. It was the one where Brody was choking him on the ring apron, and then he just drops them. They showed that spot, and then they did that spot in the match. That was great. Yeah.
He should always be doing that spot. It gets over. It's great.
Yes. It was awesome. Then we got Renee with Cope and Christian. And I felt so bad for Renee because she had no voice. And they put her out there like
we have six times. Backstage people. Why did we need Renee to do this?
And I don't think Mox was there. why did they just give her
the night off? Well, he was training Ospreay, you know?
I mean, they should have just given her the night off. But even her at like 30% with her voice is still pretty good. Christian said his arm felt fine, even though he was selling it and he was selling it the whole match. Apparently now, so the original stip for this match was Edge and Christian could never team again if FTR gave him a title shot. Then they made it a New York street fight. Now they're making it an I Quit match. So it's
we break up, but it's going to be a street fight I Quit match.
Yes. So far. I mean, they could add some more.
A bunkhouse. We could add.
I asked on Twitter. Someone suggested Stokely in a shark cage. They could easily add that.
A shark cage would be good. We could have lumberjacks with belts. That would be good. Barbed wire around the ring.
We could have Cash putting up his hair.
We could have if Cope and Christian win, Beth gets 5 minutes with Stokely.
I like that. We got time to add more stips.
I want this to be the most stipulated match in history.
I said on Twitter,
like those ridiculous ones where you had team. It was a Smoky Mountain one where they did a War Games, but each guy had a stipulation if they lost the match.
Yeah, and actually, it's funny because they did another stip match like that's coming up on Collision, which we'll get to. But I said they need at least six. So next we got, they had advertised the Brawlin' Birds in action, and the Brawlin' Birds faced, I'd have to double check these names, but I'll just go with what I wrote. Emily Jane and Jordan Blade. Does that sound right?
Jordan Blade sounds right. Cause that's when I was paying attention to, cause I actually was mixing her up with Malik Blade.
Oh who is a free agent now.
So. Right. You got those right. Dude, if we're going to make them the Road Warriors, let's just make them the Road Warriors. Go in. Don't even wait for the bell. Just destroy these two. 1, 2, 3. What are we doing?
Yeah, it went too long, but I mean, they won with their finisher. Two birds, one stone. It was fine. Clearly, they're being set up for a world title.
Yeah, no, they're a great team.
Yeah, I enjoy them. There were some mixed returns early, but I'm kind of into them right now.
No, I'd like them to calm down on the Sheamus stuff, but other than that, I like it.
I watched Collision from like 2 weeks ago, I guess. And it was the match. It was Tekla against Alex Windsor. And it's the first time that I ever remember looking at Alex Windsor and thinking that might be a future AEW Women's World Champion. Like there's something there.
Oh, sure. I'm dying for Hayter to get hot again.
Oh yeah, I mean she's already like proven that she could do that. But it's the first time I ever thought that with Windsor. So, you know, she's got something, and I've been impressed.
Okay.
And then we got a Sky Blue and Tekla promo. Now I will point out Sky Blue did say some words here, but I didn't write them down. I don't remember what she said. I was too focused on Tekla
because there's too many bitches in this company. Yeah,
she says. So people ask me, why do you keep calling everybody dumb bitches? Well, I'd love to stop calling everyone dumb bitches, but there's entirely too many of them in this company. And she says, whatever happened to you two brawling birds? You're supposed to be two big brawling birds, but you can't handle one little toxic spider? One-on-one, I'm everything, and you two are nothing. I didn't do this justice.
It was another phenomenal entry into her resume for promo of the year.
Yeah. Can we induct her into the Brian and Vinny Hall of Awesome?
I don't those powers. I can't do it.
Oh, I thought you had. I thought you controlled that thread on the board.
I do control the thread, but I don't control the Hall of Awesome.
Gotcha. Okay. I'll talk to Brian. Because, man, she's awesome. Then we got the match you referenced earlier, Kazuchika Okada and Ace Austin international title match. Now, I will say, cutting to the end, the last minute or so of this match was pretty great. Up until then, Okada was clearly working at much, much less than 50%. He was just out there having fun. Ace Austin was out there trying to have the match of his life, and Okada was out there trying to have a night off.
Oh, he was. Ace Austin went back there and go, what the? This could have been so. And that guy gives me that 50% instead of the. Oh, Ace wanted this so bad.
He like Okada, you know, the tell with Okada is when he does the elbow off the top rope. If he jumps even a little bit, he's trying. Here he fell. Like, you know, and
I think Ace Austin is an awesome. I like
Austin, and they were the commentators were trying to put him over. Callis in particular was going nuts over her,
but we don't see his personality ever. I got a soft spot in my heart for the quote unquote gambler gimmicks because it was also the first character I was gonna be when I was trying to get into wrestling, and you know all that. I mean, there's a little bit of pizzazz to those types of guys. I really like them. He looks like a million bucks.
Yeah, his
and then he never gets any TV time, and you're just other than matches. And it's like, well, why am I supposed to care about you other than you're a pretty good wrestler? Yeah, and that's what I want.
And he's another one that, you know, like since he was in TNA, like I don't even know, like at least 30 pounds he's put on, and most of it his legs.
But in TNA, he had some character to him too.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, like he kind of got away from that. Well, I mean, he had the tag ever since Chris Bay got injured because they had the awesome tag team ABC.
Right.
And then when he went singles, he kind of got a little more serious, stopped doing the gimmick basically. And now, I don't even know what, like, he doesn't even do the gimmick in this company.
He's a member of a group. That's what he's a
member of the Bang Bang Gang. And they're all kind of toned down. Like, Juice Robinson is 20% of what he was at his
peak. We don't want to do anything with you until we know when Jay White comes back move.
Yeah.
Because like Juice was the dude here. And even the guns were like the guns.
Well, the guns keep getting hurt. That's the problem there. So it leading towards the end of the match, Ace Austin hit this freaking famouser where he lands in the splits from the top rope. He's got to retire that move because he's going to get hurt. Like, he looked great, but I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze on that one. Then Okada went for a drop kick, or he hit a drop kick, went for a rainmaker, but Austin got out of it, hit him with a backside for two. Then Okada tossed him in the ropes, hits the perfect drop kick. Then he hit a pile driver. Then he picked him up, hit the rainmaker, got the win. The last minute or so was great. Before that, again, it was like Austin wrestling the match of his life and Okada trying to have a night off and Austin not really letting him. And then Callis came out. Mark Davis came out as well. I'm not exactly sure why, but Juice Robinson came out, pulled Dawson out of the ring. Takeshita had a stare down with Okada, making motions at the belt. Don Callis was just trying to play peacemaker. And that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting Okada and Takeshita at Double or Nothing. I will note, and my notes may not reflect this, but I thought they did like a really good job tonight building up the pay-per-view. And we're still like 5 weeks out, 4 or 5 weeks out. They're like going hard on some of these matches and reminding us what they are, putting up graphics for them, doing stuff to build. Like normally they're like 2 weeks out, they're doing the card. And here we've got about 4 or 5 matches already. And
all right. Okay, let me come in here just a little bit. Not necessarily to throw ice on you, because I agree in terms of the matches and the commentary they're building it, but the actual participants in the matches aren't saying anything to anybody.
Fair. Yeah. Okay. I mean,
which is what although that's what gets me into the building. Your mileage may vary. Coming out on a stage and staring at somebody is a build. Okay.
Well, cool. The two big matches that they're really hammering right now are Okada and Takeshita and FTR and Cope and Cage.
Well, MJF and Darby.
Well, if that's the match we're going to get, I assume it is. Yeah. So, those three, we don't really know what's going to happen with the women's titles. I think the women's tag titles are probably going to be the Brawling Birds and Divine Dominion. But I feel like they may try to hold that off until All In, which could be tough. And then Willow, I'm starting to think Willow might be facing Britt Baker. Like I just getting that feel. We'll get to it and I'll tell you why.
Huh?
we'll get to it.
All right. I'm willing to hear your thesis on this.
Okay. So we get a Bandido video package. And at first I thought, okay, this is the same video package that they aired when he first debuted. But it wasn't, because they're in an old West town. And all of a sudden you see all these people getting thrown out of a bar and running away from a bar. And I'm like, okay, this is probably somebody going after Bandido, not actually Bandido, because why would Bandido be like beating up people at a bar? And then someone comes out of the bar and the camera focuses on their back. And then the person stops and picks up a Bandido poster. Then the camera goes up. And who is it but Swerve Strickland? And then Nana's there too. And then Swerve lights the poster on fire and looks at the camera. And I guess we're getting Swerve and Bandido at some point. And my first thought was that it was for the ROH title, but then I realized it can't be for that. And
I don't know, Paul, if you listen real closely, you can hear Brian Keith from catering. You're like, what the fuck, Tony?
Yeah. Well, I thought it was Brian Keith.
So did I.
It was for a Ring of Honor match.
Okay. Here's the thing that threw me off most about the promo. Other than looking at Swerve and going, oh good, they're doing something with Brian Keith. Damn it. Oh no. All the people thrown out of the bar were in modern day clothes.
There is that.
So I never thought for a moment it was going to be like a cowboy thing. I was like, oh, okay, we're going to get Brian Keith Bandido too. And maybe we get Hangman in there. And I finally get my posse group. No.
Here's the meta commentary on this. They were filming a Bandido vignette and Swerve broke it up. So okay. That's why they were all in regular. They were doing dress rehearsal.
He was beating up the crew. He was throwing out like the boom
beating
mic
up the crew. You're not cutting a promo for this dude.
Right.
I think that's probably, I assume that's gonna be a Double or Nothing match. And that should be a great match. Dave's already given it 4 3-quarter stars, and that's before they even got in the ring. So it's gonna be great. It was interesting. And yeah, I think Bandido is facing Blake Christian on the ROH pay-per-view. So
hey, how about that?
Yeah. And then they're doing a women's survival of the fittest match, which they've never done in ROH, and they're doing qualifying matches, and man, you wouldn't believe some of these names that are winning qualifying matches. Can't wait.
Okay, hold on. What is a survival of the fittest match?
I believe it's just like 8 people in a match, and I think it's like elimination style, so you go until there's one person left. I think
is Diamante cool. In because that's the one I put money
not
on.
Not yet, but I don't think the qualification matches are done yet.
That's gonna be the running joke of this show.
High end like was in a qualifying match. I thought, oh, she's probably gonna win because she's getting pushed, and no, she actually lost, which shocked
to
me.
To who
I can't remember, but not somebody not as big as her. Hang on, I got it written down on my spreadsheet. I'll tell you in a second. Viva Van was in one and she lost.
Well, yes.
Billy Starks beat I think it might have been Persephone.
Okay.
What the fuck? Oh, hang on. No, I was looking at my thing and it was like 2022. I was looking at the wrong spreadsheet. No, it was Trisha Dora she lost to. Yeah, I was shocked.
Yeah. Oh, from
the infantry.
From the infantry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's her, Persephone, Yuka Sakazaki, and Billy Starks.
All right.
Yeah.
That gets me interested.
Yeah. Billy Starks beat Lacey Lane. Of the crew, they said. Which apparently the crew is still a thing, even though Leo Rush has lost.
Has anybody told Leo Rush that? That's the question.
Or Action Andretti. Last I saw him, he was trying to get into a different group, so so then
now I want Lacey Lane, leader of the crew, where she's the only member of the crew.
Oh yeah. Okay. So then we got this Osprey video package that we talked about earlier. I kind of want to read my notes.
Floor is yours.
Osprey walks in. Moss asks if he's cleared. He says no. He says, me and the boys got a big title match in Japan and I'm not letting them down. I have no idea what the hell he's talking about. And they didn't tell us. Mox says, loyalty. You are too good to be true. And then he pokes Pac in the belly and acting all funny with him. And Pac is just not having any of it. And he says, first thing first, I'm going to need you to drop everything. Everything up here, that clouds your vision. Makes you see things that aren't there. Everything in here, that tugs and pulls at your heartstring. The anger that burns a hole in your stomach. Drop it all. It's all excess baggage. We don't need it. Your feelings about me? Drop it. We don't need excess baggage. I make no promises. I don't produce miracles. When I make a commitment to something, I see it through all the way to the end. All I ask is the same in return. And that was that. And I was like, what the hell was that? And we talked about it. You got anything else to add?
I got nothing else to add on this.
I was going to try and see if
oh, you know how we could also make this worse? Is that the red shirts start to split on sides and I really like Osprey and then we get the great Yuta Garcia split that we've been waiting for.
Oh God. What, the one we had before this started?
Did we have one?
Well, those two, these two.
I thought they were both heels. I thought they were siding with everybody else, and Moxley was the baby.
Well, they've kind of always been like, either feuding or together, but never like just in separate universes, if that makes sense.
We shaved Wheeler Yuta's head and never got to see the bald head. I'm still mad about that. So let's just.
That is true. Yeah. So that was that. And again, apparently there's a bunch of stuff that happened on it. They did a similar thing, I guess, on Collision and. People were raving about it and I didn't see it, so I don't know what it was, and they didn't show me. So, and then Osprey just said okay, agreed to it. Mox says beautiful, and then Osprey stared down Pac, and then he's looking around and he's like, where's the ring? And Mox says, ah, we don't need a ring, we're starting from the ground up. And then he looks at the cameraman and he's like, the rest of this is proprietary, sorry. And he sends the cameras away. So I guess they're gonna fight. They're in the Death Rider Fight Club, I guess. I don't know,
the Death Rider Dungeon.
So this has been, I guess they've had this going on for years, and this is the first time we've ever seen it.
How come it isn't making any of the lower guys better?
I don't know. So you know what's funny? I was a little bit behind on the thing. So I commented in the Discord in the show thread. So what? Are we supposed to believe Osprey has Stockholm Syndrome?
Yes.
And then, no, this, that. Blah, 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 blah. And then later on, Joe says, yeah, you got Stockholm Syndrome. I was like, yes, Joe. Joe, the voice of reason.
Maybe that slipped past Tony. He didn't realize it.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great if it was. Or Joe's just watching the show and said, this is fucking stupid. He just has a promo.
I want Joe now to walk down to the dungeon. That's what we need. We need Joe to walk down there. And then when the Osprey gets turned into Reek, Joe becomes his savior and gets him out of there.
Yeah. He's Commissioner Gordon of Batman. when he almost was ready to turn and join up with the criminals, and then Commissioner Gordon saves the day.
Yeah.
All right. Copen Cage versus RPG Vice. Good Lord. So this is the first time that Copen Cage have ever teamed up on Dynamite, apparently. Stokely joined commentary briefly. Then for some reason, the conglomeration were at ringside disguised as fans. Stoke took a swing at them. Kyle O'Reilly dropped popcorn on him. They brawled with FTR. I wrote, I'm guessing there's going to be a match on Collision with these guys. They brawled into the crowd, and that was the last we saw of Stokely or the conglomeration or FTR, because FTR was out there too. Then we get back to the match, and so they did Christian in the ring forever with RPG Vice working over his arm, and then they went through a break. He's still in. Finally makes a hot tag to Edge. Edge comes in and immediately gets cut off, and now they get a long segment on him. And at one point, Tony Schiavone said, oh, this is a hell of a championship match, even though it's not one. And like almost every match on the show actually was a championship match, except for this one. Edge missed a spear. Trent covered him with his foot on the ropes. Ref saw it. Then Trent started arguing with the ref. Went for another spear. Trent got his leg up. I thought for sure that was going to be the finish. And then Edge lifted him up, and Christian hit him with a spear and selling his arm. And then Edge pinned him, and that was that. And then Christian goes and grabs a chair from beside the announce desk, rips a bar off it, hands it to Cope. Cope uses it to put the crossface on Trent. Poor Trent. The baby faces are double teaming him 2-on-1. Rocky Romero's disappeared. And then Christian is yelling into a mic, do you know what to say? Do you know what to say? Trent is trying to say, I quit, but his voice is muffled. And so finally, Edge has to take the thing out of his mouth so he can say, I quit. And then Christian called him a little bitch. Then Christian grabs one of the tag belts that FTR left at the announce desk, and he starts celebrating with it. Then Christian put the popcorn bowl that Kyle O'Reilly dumped on Stokely's head, puts it on his head like a crown, and starts celebrating with the other belt. And I was like, what the hell was the last 3 minutes?
I needed Copeland to pull a Tom Sizemore and Heat thing when in the opening scene when they're doing the armored car robbery. And Wayne Grow is like, you making a move on me? He just said, hey, Slick, can't you see that shit coming out of their ears? That's blood. He can't hear you. I just wanted a couple to go, hey, Slick, see that stuff in his mouth? He can't say I quit.
Yeah. Yeah. It was something. So, yeah, it's, I guess the idea is that they're like Christian for sure is not. He's not a babyface at all. And Cope is one, but he's,
No, we're counting down the moments when Christian turns on him again.
Yeah, which is probably going to be when they lose to FTR.
Yeah, because that was the contract. Once our deal is over, we're no longer friends again.
Yeah, and we're not friends now. We're just teaming.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get Renee again. She's with Chris Jericho. She asks if there's any validity to Ricochet's claim that the Rico salt is an improvement on the Lion salt. And then Chris Jericho says, imitation is a serious form of flattery, but I'm not flattered. I'm pissed off. And then he's about to launch into a tirade. He gets jumped by the demand. And then Ricochet's like, as the Gates of Agony are beating him on, he's like, is this what you want in your big return? No more jokes, no more subliminal messages. I told you to leave or get yourself hurt. And then, they're holding Christian and he's like, says idiot. And then something that he said got bleeped. And then he said bald again. And then Ricochet gets even more pissed off. And he's like, you think this is funny? This ain't funny. They tossed him into a truss. And he said, that's what you get. You think this is funny? And then he went to hit him with a Rico salt, but landed on his feet. And he's like, you're not even worth it. And just left Chris Jericho lying. So I guess he needs some friends.
It wasn't bleeped on Max. I think it was F yourself.
Oh, so he actually said, go fuck yourself?
I think so. I can't remember. Okay. There was a swear somewhere in here.
Oh, okay, because they bleeped everything. Like everything between idiot and bald was bleeped. So I didn't know what it was at all, and you couldn't really see what he was saying. So
I was watching on HBO Max. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I was watching on TSN, and I think what happens is when they're going to swear, they tell them, and then they know whether they can decide whether or not they want to censor it.
I wouldn't mind this segment if I thought for sure that Chris Jericho was going to be a babyface in this company. I don't understand why we're delaying this.
So you still think he's going to be a heel?
I think he's a disingenuous babyface that wants to be a heel, and we've just have now Ricochet coming in here And yeah, and
is Jericho's he gonna bring in Hans and Franz to face the
I the saw that and I hope yeah. not.
Because that's what they're teasing on Twitter.
Well, yeah, Kevin Nealon challenged somebody for a match in AEW or WWE, and Tony Khan jumped in and said,
"Well, I think he challenged Dana Carvey."
Okay, yeah, and then they wanted to. Now, see, the only way Hans and Franz work in AEW is with the Outrunners.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, or they work with Jericho as Chevy Chase.
Oh God.
Like,
and Jericho just turns around. I don't understand.
I found it so funny though that, you know, the first night I said, oh, you know, Chevy Chase, and then, you know, and then he's doing this subliminal man gimmick the next week, and it's like, wow. You know, like, yeah, I mean, it's not quite the same, but pretty close. Yeah, so anyways, then we got the Divine Dominion against Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida. This was what's that book that opens with, this was the best of times, the worst of times?
Tale of Two Cities.
Yeah, yeah, that's what this was. Because there was some real good stuff in this match.
And hold on. Real, hold on. Is there bad stuff. Is there a Canadian indie band called Tale of Two Cities
that there's you can reference? I think there's a female band from Toronto called The Tale of Two Titties. A tale and two titties. But yeah, no, there isn't. But no, this match was, I mean, there was some basic stuff that they completely effed up, but there was like a good story being told at times, but then it was confusing at times. Like, there's one spot where Shida, for some reason, just decides to grab a candlestick, and Statlander does not want her to use it, so they're arguing over it. And then finally, Statlander gets it away from her. Shida gets pissed off at her, picks her up, suplexes her into the corner, and then she just tags out and standing there waiting for a tag. And I, you know, like, I thought she was going to walk away. And no, they just had a match. And it's like, okay, like, I guess these two don't get along, but they do. And I don't know. And then they had a long match. So they went through a break. And, you know, and it was the heels double teaming. And I will say, like, there were so many times in this match when you had both heels in the ring with one of the baby faces and Aubrey's just standing there. She's not trying to get one of them out of the ring. She's not counting. She's not, you get out of the ring, you know, like, at least trying. There, she's just letting them do double teams. I counted 20 seconds at one time and, you know, whatever, like, you know, and but then other times they do try to break it up. So I don't really know what's going on. Somewhere in the middle of this match, they announced that next week is going to be a 3-hour block of Dynamite and Collision.
We're getting a bunch of 3-hour shows.
Yeah, well, there, if they're 2 hours of Dynamite and 1 hour Collision, guess what, we're doing our regular show at our regular time. I am not watching that.
We might
hour.
Miss something. Okay,
too bad. Do it in 2 hours if it's important. And then, so at one point the crowd starts chanting Holy Shida after not giving a shit about this match at all. I think they just were bored and wanted to chant. So then it got good near the end. Stat hits a blue thunder bomb on Megan Bain. Then she hit an Enziguri on Cross, who landed on Bain. She goes to the top rope, hits a freaking 450 splash. I've never seen Chris Statlander do this move. It was perfect.
Lena Cross did not enjoy it, though, I don't
know. Oh, no, she landed hard. Then Shida did a blind tag. She hit a Meteora from the top. Then a Falcon Arrow. Lena Cross kicks out. Then she goes for a Katana, but Bane intercepted her with a belly-to-belly. Cross and Bane hit a combination kick into a suplex. Then they hit a double powerbomb, and Lena Cross, I believe, pinned Hikaru Shida. And that was that. And, it was, again, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, because there was some real bad stuff in this match, but there's some really good stuff. And at the end, I gave it a good rating, because I thought overall it was a good match, but could have been a great match, could have been a terrible match, and it turned out to be pretty good.
Okay, let's go a step further. What is this in aid of? Because
we're going to get a feud with Stat and Chris Statlander, I think. With Shida and Chris Statlander.
That's what I think, too. But it's like, yeah, she's going to blame her for not winning or something. So
you should have let me use the kendo stick. And she and Statler to me, no, we got to do it the right way. And, you know, probably that is my guess. And the other one is just to give, you know, Divine Dominion another win leading up to their match with Brawling Birds at some point.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was just weird watching Sheeta play babyface when everybody knows she's a heel and nobody was getting into it. That's the other.
Well, that is weird. Yeah. Because I mean, and as I'm watching it, I'm like, why isn't she just a babyface? Because she's a damn good babyface.
She's a very good babyface, but they want her to play this character because she was doing the thing with Willow.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was weird. Then we get this interview with Andrade and MJF is there too. And MJF said, thanks to you, Darby is on a reign of terror. And then Andrade says, how do you know? And MJF says, Don told me you lost the match. He's like, how do you know? He says, I saw it with my own two eyes. How do you know? You just keep asking him. MJF's getting more and more pissed off. They get into a shoving match. Andrade just pushes buttons. And Callis says, hold on. He says, Andrade, you're my money man. And he says to MJF, you are the money man. Business is business. And then he says to Andrade, he doesn't even have a belt right now, so don't worry about it. And then he says to MJF, you need to get a belt right now because we're all better off when you're on top. And he says, so let's focus on business. MJF walks away. Callis looks at Renee and says, what are you going to do? Wild horses got to run. It's like, okay. I guess we're going to get an MJF Andrade match at some point.
No, but this is a throwback to Andrade version 1 in AEW.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Because he was doing kind of the same thing with...
like pretending he can't speak English.
Yeah, but when he had Jose, the assistant, when he was running the family office a little bit. How you know?
Oh, yeah.
He did it all the time with Sting and Darby. Remember when he was trying to... Where's your kid?
Yeah. Where's your kid? I'll never forget that one. Reminds me of that scene from Blues Brothers where it's like... How much for the little girl? Yeah. Then we got a standby match, and apparently I got a text during this, and it said, oh, I guess Rush is the new Brody with the standby matches, because I think they had one on Collision as well. Although they didn't actually call it a standby match. They just did it, which is probably the right way to go. Anyways, he was against Steven Fuentes, and they showed highlights of him beating Adam Priest on Collision, and Rush played with his food for about a minute, and then he won with the bull's horns. Then he got a mic. Said a bunch of shit in Spanish that they didn't bother to translate. And then he said, remember, when you mess with the bulls, you get the horns. And that is not what he said in Spanish. So I guess it doesn't matter what he said in Spanish because they didn't tell us. And I don't really know what the point of this was other than I assume he's probably going to get some title match soon.
I love
probably against Darby. I think Rush and Darby is a match Tony Khan probably had in his little scrapbook that he wanted to see at some point.
I'm sure that the scouts for AEW went and looked at Steven Fuentes and go, you know, he's a hot young prospect. Let's put him in the ring here with him. And my version or vision is different. Because you see, one of the things I loved the most growing up were Ron Garvin squashes on 605, where he is just... bullying and sugar holding some dope. I want fat, balding, out of shape. I want more geeks, and I want to see Rush beat them up, and he'll be a big star if you just do that for 3 minutes every week.
This is only a minute and 39. It felt well. No, I guess I said he played with his food for a minute. Yeah, I guess that's about right. It was fine. And again, yeah, it just made him look real good. Then we got the Renee with the ops, and Bowens is with them. And she says, Samoa Joe, you're back. You looked incredible last week. What's the game plan? And Joe, this is a declaration of intent. We intend to reassert our dominance here in AEW, and we plan to do that with men like Katsuyori Shibata, who is kind enough to put on a kick pad so he doesn't leave a dent in your head after he kicks it off. We have Anthony Bowens, multi-time world champion, one of the most underappreciated.
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah.
How many times has he won the world tag titles?
At least once, but he was also a world trios champion.
That doesn't count.
It does in this world.
No.
They always call the trios champions world champions. Yes. Yes. When Joe had it and he had another belt, he was the only guy that had ever held two world titles at the same time.
Much like the first Kevin Knight MJF match, I did not remember that they were trios champions.
Okay. Yeah, it was him. I think it was with the gun.
It was Billy Gunn. Yeah.
With Billy Gunn, yeah. So he says he's underappreciated and underestimated, and you're going to see the best version of him in the ops. And then we take you to this young man, Hook, who intends to become the new king of TV when he captures the TNT title on Collision. And this all brings me to Will Ospreay. Now, young Will, I pray you're not suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. You know who took you out of this the last time the Death Riders beat you up? We did. We had your back. So what kind of relationship do you want? One of convenience or one of confidence? The ops are here. The choice is yours. And I'm like, go with Joe. Go with Joe. Hashtag go with Joe. That's
good. Yes.
Try to get that trending. I like that. Oh, you know what? John had a question that we may have answered, but I want to make sure.
It was the one about the storyline. The Death Riders.
This one, yeah. We did talk about this, right? Oh, how many top baby faces does this company have? So that's the question he just had, and he wants us to answer it. How many?
You mean potential also, or just...
No, like right now, how many top baby faces? I mean, I guess Darby, although a month ago I wouldn't have said that.
Kenny... Will, if Will counts, and
Hanga?
Darby,
Hanga?
Maybe I don't know. It depends if you think. Well, yeah, he'd be over if he showed up. Yeah,
and I guess Takeshita if he splits from the Callis family, but
no. Okay. He's not top. He's B level still.
And then what? Do we have any women in there? Probably not. Eh? Willow is probably the top right now.
But
I wouldn't say she's a top baby face in the company. Some people would tell you Moxley, but no.
No.
And not Kevin Knight. Four. I mean, and that's enough, like, for a company. Like, four
the top babies. The Bucks.
Yeah, they're close. I wouldn't. It's hard to say because they're not. It's hard to say. Hard to say, but yeah, I mean, if either one of them were singles, definitely, for sure. Bandito, no. Brody King, no.
Four. Brody was close, and now he's
Brody. There's something there, you know. But they're kind of telling you that, you know, he's a guy, and you should pay attention to him. But he's not going to ever be the guy.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Then we got FTR and Stokely backstage, and then he said, next week on Dynamite, we're going to have a double Jeopardy match, and any one of you can go one-on-one with Dax the Axe. If you win, you or any member of the conglomeration can challenge for the tag team titles, but when we win, we get a shot at the Trios titles. And I bet you're all thinking, you're going to get me in the ring. Uh-uh, I got somebody else. And he brings in Tommaso Ciampa. And then he says, Ciampa says, last time we teamed up, if I remember right, I took Mark Briscoe and I put him on the shelf indefinitely. Well, that's news to me. I didn't realize that, but okay. And maybe that explains where he's been. And he said, this time we're going to take those Trios titles. Top guys out. And that was that. So I assume that Dax is going to win and we're going to get FTR and Ciampa against the conglomeration. I guess it won't be at the pay-per-view, but probably at some point between now and the pay-per-view.
I think they probably win.
Maybe. I mean, those Trios titles get, you know, moved around like hot potatoes. So if it's not them, it's going to be the ops. Like, you know, they'll probably just put them back on the ops because Tony just sends to, like, when somebody leaves, he kind of just resets when they come back. And Joe's kind of always had those Trios titles with whoever he's teaming up with. So we'll see. Man, a Trios team with like Joe and Ospreay and Shibata, that'd be pretty cool. But it would probably be Joe Bowens and Hook.
Give me Ciampa, Joe, and Roosh. Oh,
man, that's so random, but so great. Yeah. Brody King and Darby Allin for the AW World title. They had a match. Before the break, they wrestled pretty much exclusively outside the ring. They're just brawling like crazy. They go to a break. There's 4 minutes left in the show. When they went to the break, they came back with like a minute before the top of the hour. And I think they went another like 10. And it got pretty wild after the break. Again, it was similar to last. The match was completely different from last week, but it was similar in the fact that it was crazy. Darby hit a sent, or sorry, Brody hit a senton, knocked Darby to the outside. Another point, Darby was hanging on the ropes. Brody chopped him so hard he landed on the outside. Then he goes, falls him out there, chokes on him onto the apron. They showed Kevin Knight watching from the crowd and MJF watching from the back. Darby tried to hit a jumping bulldog, but he kind of missed Brody. But then he readjusted himself and had a sleeper on him. Brody does a cannonball into a table top that had been set up on the ring apron. Crowd chanted holy shit at that. And actually on the list of Darby stunts, like this was like a 1 out of 10, but it looked great. So, you know, the fans were, if they chant holy shit and Darby doesn't have to hurt himself, I call that a win. Then they were brawling on a desk. Brody put on a choke from behind, the one I talked about earlier, but Darby broke free. Then Darby hits a code red on the announce desk. The ref at this point is not counting them out at all. And it's funny because I made that note. And then Excalibur says, Paul Turner is doing everything in his power to get them back in the ring. Except he wasn't even counting. Then Darby was selling his knee. He's hopping around. And then he hit a tope to the outside, knocked Brody into the desk. At this point, Shivani, maybe I mentioned earlier, but this is the first I'd heard of it. This is their fifth match in AEW, and they're 2-2 before this. So that's kind of a cool story. Then they took a break in the match to announce the collision matches. So we're going to get the Death Riders and the Dogs. I didn't write down which members of the Death Riders against Top Flight and the Rascals in a 10-man tag.
Didn't we see that last week?
No. What we saw was an ad for Death Riders and the Dogs against... It was the Young Bucks and somebody. And I
the
think
Rascals.
That match was, yeah, maybe. And that match was on Collision, which I didn't see.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, this one will be on Collision too. Hook defending the challenging for the TNT title against Kevin Knight. Jack Perry defending the national title against Mascara Dorada. The Bang Bang Gang against Daniel Garcia and Wheeler Yuta of the Death Riders. And this is where I mentioned earlier, Willow is defending the TBS title against, of all people, Anna Jay, who's just randomly returning after being away forever, and people thought she was going to WWE. And here she is challenging. And so you look up Willow's last few matches. They're returning Hikaru Shida. They're returning Queen Aminata. They're returning Camille. Now they're returning Anna Jay. I think she's going to get the returning Britt Baker at Double or Nothing. She's still under contract. I mean, you know, and I just have a feeling. I don't know. There's no, like, I haven't been told anything. I just something I'm thinking.
Let me throw somebody out for you. The returning Mercedes Moné.
That would work. I mean, and that would make perfect sense. Because where the hell is she? I went off the rant last week. But
yeah. I also have an inkling of someone else, possibly. I think you might get the artist formerly known as Dakota Kai.
But that wouldn't be a return.
No, it would be a debut.
Now, is there anyone else that's been gone for a while? That
let's list them. Serena Deeb has been gone for a while. Deanna Purrazzo has been gone for
She's in ROH. I don't think that counts. I'm thinking somebody that's completely she's like a champion there. Like somebody that like Rebel, you know, like it's not Rebel, but hang on, let me pull up the AW women's roster. Here, current AW roster, women. Here we go. Harley, no. Oh, shoot, it's been a while. Emi Sakura? I'm here for
Emi
that.
Emi Sakura would be good. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, Leah LeGray, but I think she's going to be. Oh, Nyla Rose? That's a good one. And I know she's right. Oh, Ruby Soho.
Okay.
Riho? Almost time for her semi-annual match that she has.
Soho in New York would fit.
Yeah. Taya Valkyrie. Tay Mello.
All right, stop this. You're being silly.
Well, but Emi Sakura would be good.
I don't think Britt Baker wrestles for this company again.
I don't either, but I'll tell you, I didn't think Anna Jay was going to Like, I haven't watched the Raw after.
Yeah, neither did I. I'm like, what the? Did she re-sign?
She must have. Because I, like I said, I haven't watched the Raw after Mania yet, and for all I knew, Anna Jay was on Raw. Like, I literally have no idea, like, who came back. But anyways, back to the match. Brody hit a lariat, got a great near fall. Then he went for another one, this time with a running start, and got another great near fall. Darby had, like, this glazed look in his eyes. Fans are going nuts at this point. You know what? Actually, take that back. Fans are trying to get a dueling chant going. They weren't as loud for this match as they were for the opener. I'll just say that. Although at times they were, and at the end they were actually pretty loud. Then hit him with chops and a headbutt. Brody no-sold the headbutt, threw him out of the ring and into a cameraman. Then Brody's trying to pick him up, but Darby starts pulling back the mats as Brody's dragging him away, and he used up kicks to get free. Brody starts chopping the shit out of him. He went for a running cannonball. Darby moved. Brody went right through the barricade, which is funny because he landed on concrete, and the whole thing was going to be they were setting up a spot where he's going to land on concrete. And here, when he went through the barricade, he landed on concrete, but they didn't really point out to that. And Darby starts pulling up more mats. And at this point, the crowd was like so quiet that there was one fan that screamed, "Oh my God!" And you could hear that. And it was kind of funny. Then Darby got back in the ring. Darby was trying to get back in as well. They're fighting on the apron. Brody picked him up. Looked like he was going to suplex him onto the concrete, but Darby got underneath him, powerbombed Brody onto the cement, went to the top, hit a coffin drop, freaking landed on this dude with just dead weight. Whatever Darby like weighs, it was double that because of the momentum. Looked like it really hurt, even though Darby is like probably the lightest guy in the company. Then he rolled him in to the ring while the ref. Or Darby rolled into the ring while the ref was counting out Brody. Brody teased a count out, got in just before 10. Immediately, Darby goes to the top, hits a coffin drop. Then he hit another one, and he got the pin. And then Justin Roberts does his call, and he says, "The winner of this battle and still AEW World Champion," and blah, blah, blah. They showed Kevin Knight watching from the crowd again. Brody got to his feet, shook hands, and Darby got on the ring apron, turnbuckle, stared at Kevin Knight, and that was it. I was kind of waiting for an angle, but we didn't get anything. And it was another awesome match. Not quite as good as last week, but pretty good.
Yeah, there's just something about Brody that I just think we missed something along the way. I don't know what you do with him now.
Yeah, like I think he actually should have turned heel on Bandido like last year, you know, when nobody wanted it at the time, because they were such a great team, but I think that would have given him a kick in the ass, especially if he had a manager and maybe like him with like in the Hurt Business. Oh my God, that would have been great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they didn't do it. And he's a good babyface. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's just not a top guy babyface. And maybe as a heel, he could be that. I don't know. But yeah, it was a good match, and set up another world title match for next week. So I think I said this last week, like I predicted, or it was either with you or with Garrett on the takedown. I said, I think he's going to defend the title every week until he loses it.
I do too. And I think he's going to lose. I think he's probably going to lose it. Well, you said that Double or Nothing is in between here and Norfolk. I think Hangman may come in Norfolk and beat him.
Hangman beats Darby in Norfolk?
Sure.
Except Hangman says he's never going to challenge for the world title again.
Oh, that's true. Never mind.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Although, you know, the stips are made to be broken. I think Hangman returns with Double or Nothing, screws MJF, and then Darby loses shortly after that. You know, I don't know who, maybe to Swerve. That's who I think is going to, that's why I'm going on the record right now. I think Darby's going to lose to Swerve. That's who he's going to lose the world title to. And then I don't know what that means. Maybe we get Swerve and Will Ospreay at All In. It'd be interesting. They teamed up last year to take out the Bucks, and now this year they go one on one, and it would be Swerve's third like huge match in England, because he also had the Danielson retirement match there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and Danielson beat him for the world title, and he could lose the world title again to Will Ospreay this time. So yeah, that was that. Again, I thought it was a fun show. We had somebody in the chat giving a shit for like shitting on the show. I thought we were pretty fair to the show.
Yeah, but you know, it's probably me. that they're coming after.
Well, I banned them anyway, so. Then he came back with a different username and I banned him again.
Well, he came back with basically the same username, so.
Yeah.
Let me ask this, since we have a little bit of time. I think sure. I didn't see, look
yeah,
at the
clock. It's one, yeah, we're at 1:15, so we're good.
We love doing the who among the people cut would you sign if you were AEW?
Sorry. Oh, yeah, that's good. Actually, that was what I wanted to start the show off with. So I got, like, All But Fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's Kaylee Ray. Yeah.
Yeah. John from the Fight Game podcast thinks she would be the best wrestler in the women's division if they signed her.
I would not doubt that.
Yeah, I wouldn't put her ahead of Mercedes, but I wouldn't put her behind
anyone else.
Yeah, she's great.
I mean, she's been doing yeoman's work in a suit for a while too.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's great. Santos Escobar. Okay. Although I think CMLL will sign him and then they can just borrow him when they want. And then there's a couple of young guys. And you probably don't know them, and anybody listening doesn't know them. Although I know Fernando and Maria were in the chat. I mentioned this on Takedown last night, so they may know. Chris Island and Trill London. Now, okay. Chris Island is a former college wrestler, like up until 2 years ago. So he's very new at this, but he impressed me on LFG. He's got personality and he's very good in the ring. And I'm shocked that they cut him. So I don't know why they cut him. Maybe he's got attitude issues. I don't know. I haven't heard anything. And Trill London is a former NFL player who was also on LFG. He patterns himself after Jeff Hardy. He talks like a mixture of Swerve and Javon Evans. This guy oozes cool. I the first time I saw this guy, I had the same reaction I had the first time I saw Javon Evans. I was like, this guy's can't miss. So I have no idea why they cut him. And I think Tony should sign both those guys to low-level Ring of Honor deals and just let them learn the business and get better, because I think they both have serious untapped potential, those two.
I would kill for a Kyrie Mercedes match in AEW. I think that would be fire for a pay-per-view, maybe even Forbidden Door.
Yeah, I think Kyrie may be going back to Japan.
Well, yes, but do you use the Forbidden Door stuff for that?
Yeah. Kyrie and Mercedes is no-brainer.
I'll give you another one, and this is going to be a little weird, but I really like the guy, and I think, you know, if you ever wanted a Mick Foley-type character in AEW along with Darby, I think Joe Gacy
would
be the pickup. Because that dude can just do hardcore matches and just
and on the same vein of that, like they could do worse than Nikki Cross.
But I think Nikki's going to MLW.
Oh, is she really? That's weird.
Well, that's where her husband is.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. And she's probably got other options outside of wrestling, because I think she got her PhD while she was working there because they were using her and she had nothing else to do. And then, you know, they got some other interesting names. You know, what's funny is I heard about these cuts. So the very first thing I heard of it was I'm in this chat group with a couple friends, and one of them asks, oh, is it true the Wyatt Six got cut? That they cut all of the Wyatt Six? And I'm like, I don't think so. I would be surprised if that was true. And then, of course, they did. And then it was like, and then somebody else in the chat brings up a whole bunch of other names that were cut. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, this is their annual purging. And then, like, you know, over the next few days, I just start hearing of these other names. And then yesterday, before I did the show with Garrett, I pulled up the list and I was like, there's like a bunch of names that I had still had no idea that had been cut. Like, and we're like 4 or 5 days later, like guys that have been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Apollo Crews. I'm positive you're gonna see that dude in Ring of Honor at some point, you know, as Yuha Nation. Andre Chase, Dante Chen. Who again was there forever? He goes back to 205 Live, like that guy.
I thought he got cut 3 times, to be honest with
you. No, he never did. He just kept surviving somehow. Luca Crucifino, who, my God, I felt bad for that guy because he had some shitty gimmicks that he did the best he could with. And then this last one, oh my God, it was like a Timu Adam. What's that guy's name? The one that used to have like the lollipops and the bunnies and.
Oh, yeah. No, I know who you're talking about.
Adam something. He was playing a similar character to that, like some rave guy.
Yeah, rave guy. He was doing the he was basically doing the what is it, the clavicular thing.
Yeah, but this is like 20 years later, and he's doing a gimmick, and it was bad, and he was bad, and it's too bad because he's a good wrestler. But yeah, they just didn't have no use for him. And then, you know, a couple of women that they weren't using, and Tyrone Steele is one that everyone's talking about, but I wasn't surprised at that one because number one, every time I see her, she's worse than the time I saw her before. And number two, she did that tweet a couple months ago where she joked about being fired. And I kind of knew that was going to be it for her. Adam Rose, thank you. Oh, Motor City Machine Guns. Yeah, them. Yeah, AEW should
sign them. They'll be in AEW.
Well, apparently, right after their 90 days expires, Tony's got two shows booked in Detroit. Like, literally, like within a week of the 90 days expiring. So I'm pretty sure we're going to see them there. Mm-hmm. And they'll, you know what, there's a lot of fun matches that they can have in AEW.
They've been in AEW before, haven't they?
I think once.
Yeah.
I think they did one match, and it may have even been Ring of Honor, but yeah. But I mean, FTR, Young Bucks, Rascals, you know, Grizzled Young Vets, The Kingdom, if I assume they're still around. I don't know. You know, there's lots of teams that they can have, you know, Bang Bang Gang, you know, that they can have fun with. So I would sign them for sure. And I don't know if John filled this in. Adam Rose was the name I was trying to come up with. Where if you go back and watch some of that stuff in NXT, you see a million future superstars working as Rosebuds. Becky Lynch, Braun Strowman, Alexa Bliss. It's crazy. And more like, yeah, so. But yeah, that was a lot of people got cut. You know, a lot of people got called up, and yeah, it's just the cycle that they go through every year. TKO runs it like a sporting company. So Tony will have his pick, and you know what? There'll probably be a name or two that just completely shocks us. And maybe those names will be Chris Allen and Trill London. Like I said, if you hear them, you heard it here first. Cause I think 5 years from now, it's going to be like a swerve thing where it's like, how did they let that guy go?
Yeah,
and I think we're gonna get that with those two, because man, they Trill London especially, that one shocked me. Like literally, I was shocked because I figured he'd be on NXT by now.
I gotta go.
Okay,
talk to you later.
For Jeff Hawkins, I'm Paul Fontaine. This has been the Dynamite Show.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.